some people. This is Cape Talk. I am Kino Cummings and Barbara Friedman next with all those trending stories.
Follow Cape Talk on Twitter at Cape Talk.
So not only trending stories, she also has the lockdown diary. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Kino. Good morning.
Good morning. So okay, what do you have for us?
So the first story has been reported widely by Reuters as well, that in Italy, where you know they have been the hardest hit, with 4,000 Italian health workers contracting the virus and some 66 doctors dying, they've introduced Tommy the robot nurse and his five other robot friends in a hospital in Italy, in northern Italy. And, you know, obviously patients at first, especially the elderly ones, the director of the hospital said found it a little bit hard having to deal with a robot. But what it's doing, it's got these big eyes with blinky eyes. It's actually quite sweet to look at. And what it does is it can actually go into the patient's room. It obviously is means that you can give relief to more doctors and nurses. And it doesn't need a mask. And obviously, it can be kept a lot more sterile, a lot more easier. Yeah. And it does a whole lot of the work. It can monitor the equipment. It can relay messages to staff. It has touch screen face so that patients can record messages and send them to the doctors. I mean, it's not to replace the healthcare workers, but it's just as a slight add-on to them. And, you know, I know we all worry about robots taking over. But I think in this case, it's probably helping a little bit because obviously the masks are their biggest concern there with such a shortage. I mean, we're going to be seeing that here too. We already are. And I think every country, the UK at the moment, is really struggling with protective gear for healthcare workers. So I think these are things we're going to need.
I agree. I'm not worried about the robots. I reckon other jobs will be created. You all get the
yes.
You do find
and it's a very scared. Small little. It's a little childlike size.
I love
so
it.
It's not scary. Yeah, it's quite cute.
I really, really love it. What else?
And then I thought the second one was an article I read on CNN Business last night by someone called Catherine Vassell, and it's 7 tips to survive working from home with your spouse or your partner. I don't know if anyone out there is doing that. I am. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was quite – there were some quite interesting tips. Not that I would probably put all of them into place. But I think the point is that couples are now being together 24/7 and often things that are differences become magnified. And I think the workspace adds to that. So these various psychologists and life coaches that this person spoke to said, acknowledge that there's a shift in your home, that we are working and that we are here 24/7 and just acknowledge that that is happening. Communicate better in the mornings, have a morning scrum. Try and keep your spaces separate. So maybe avoid going into the bedroom during work hours. Keep your work and your sort of bedroom spaces separate. Maybe, and this is obviously for people who have homes that are big enough. I understand that this is coming from a position of privilege. But if you can have a space where you aren't disturbed, like a do not disturb space. But also, I thought these were more interesting. Don't treat your spouse like a coworker. So, you know, don't boss them around and shout at them like you would your colleagues. Have a code. Have a code word, maybe something kind of funny, which signals you need a break from them. And this is my favorite one. They say blame Frank in inverted commas. We could all use a scapegoat these days, so why not create an imaginary one to avoid pointing fingers? Blaming an imaginary coworker is like saying, you know, who didn't unpack the dishwasher? And then you can just say, blame Frank. And I think that's what I'm going to introduce into this household. I'm going to blame Frank for everything that I don't do.
Do you get accused of not doing stuff?
I just heard my partner shouting in the background when he heard me say that. And my final one, which has been around since 2016, I've just discovered it, and I want to say to people, go out and check this out. Cape Talk is on it. It's called Radio Garden. Have you heard of it? It's an amazing app and online website. It's like Google Earth.
Yeah.
When you download it, you click. It's like Google Earth. It spins with all the little lights and things on the world. And you can click on some 8,000 local radio stations globally. And it sort of finds the frequency immediately and starts playing them. Cape Talk's on there. All the other local Cape Town radio stations are on there. And all the radio stations from all over the globe. And it is just phenomenal. Well, I mean, you can literally click on the little button on the world map. And it starts playing the radio station.
That is brilliant. What's it called again?
Radio Garden. And you can download it on your phone. It's also on your website. If you Google Radio Garden right now on your computer there, Kino, you can find it. Mm-hmm. And like there are 33 radio stations, it says, in the Cape Town area, and one of them is Cape Talk. And there's just all, you know, it's an NGO. It's a Netherlands Institute for Sound and Vision that launched it a few years back. It's been upgraded this year. And it's like a 3D globe of the world. And then you click on it, you can hear radios from Uganda, Norway, Japan, India. It's fascinating. It's like the idea is to sort of bring together cultures from around the world. And it's funded by public money. And I think it's super cool.
That is really, I'm on it right now. I'm already addicted.